Now, this is the past climate at Akron, Colorado, in the central Great Plains over the last 97 years. And you can see there is some trend toward decreased precip with time, especially in the last two decades, a little bit sharper trend to decrease, while there is a trend toward increasing temperature, both maximum and minimum, over time. And again, the last couple of decades, a little bit sharper trend. So, at least in the past century, there's some evidence of warming and change in precip. It's very important for this. Now, Central Great Plains is an important wheat growing area. A lot of it is grown under dryland. So the objective of this study really was to simulate impacts of climate change on dryland wheat-based cropping systems and to explore some potential adaptation. And this work is still in progress. We are going to look at some further adaptations that we haven't looked at so far. Our first step in the simulation procedure was to make sure that our root zone DSAT hybrid or combined model responds to increased carbon dioxide effects, especially for wheat. For this purpose, we used the phase data from Bruce Kimball's Arizona phase experiments to see how the model responds to carbon dioxide in wheat. And here are the results. Simulated versus measured wheat grain yield for different treatments. As you can see, had ambient carbon dioxide wet and at two different water irrigation levels, wet and dry. And they have the enriched or enhanced carbon dioxide, the same two irrigation treatments. That experiment was run for 3 years, I believe, and then in another 3 years, they had enhanced and enriched carbon dioxide at two levels of nitrogen, high nitrogen and low nitrogen. So for all these treatments, this graph shows you that the model did a fairly reasonable job within standard deviation of the data, as you can see. So we were reasonably satisfied with this to proceed to the next step, and the next step was to simulate selected dryland crop rotations and compare the model results against the data that exists at Akron, Colorado, in collaboration with our colleagues at Akron from 1992 to 2008, for 15 to 17 years, depending on the rotation. And the three rotations we chose were the wheat fallow, wheat corn fallow, and wheat corn millet cropping systems. And wheat fallow was both under conventional till and no-till, while the wheat corn fallow and wheat corn millet were under no-till. Now here are the results of that simulation study, calibration and validation. For wheat yield, for example, you can see that wheat yield for all the three rotations, wheat fallow, conventional till, wheat fallow, no-till, wheat corn fallow, wheat corn millet fallow against the measured data. Similarly for corn from two rotations, wheat corn fallow, wheat corn millet, similar millet. And this is the average of results for those three rotations. So again, we were reasonably assurance that the model is functioning pretty well for purpose, so we can proceed to see the effects of climate change. Now here are the climate change scenarios that we assumed to take place in the Central Great Plains at Akron, Colorado for years 2025, 2050, 2075, and 2100, which were superimposed over the baseline experimental years, 92 to 2008. So we wanted to keep that baseline rather than extending that baseline with simulations, just to be sure that we have experimental baseline over which we're going to superimpose these changes in temperature for each of the years, for each of the years 2025, 2050, 75, change in carbon dioxide concentration, change in temperature from April to September, that's spring and summer months, and from October to March, fall and winter months. And precip change, similarly, from spring to summer and fall to winter months. Now, these changes were based on a synthesis of all the GCM runs in the recent IPCC report by Ray et al. For Colorado. Instead of taking all the scenarios, 11 GCM, we did that too later on. But here we just took their synthesis, gave the value for potential changes based on synthesis of all the GCM runs for Colorado. Now here are the results. This shows you the wheat yield in wheat fallow for projected scenarios over the baseline years, 92 to 2007. And the results are presented a cumulative distribution function. The idea was to have inter-annual variability built into this. So cumulative distribution function and versus yield, the A here shows you, the A shows you the effect of carbon dioxide alone on wheat yield. B shows you the effect of temperature in different years, baseline and 2025, 2100. C shows you the effect of precip change that we imposed. And the D shows you combination of all. So there was benefit, some beneficial effect on wheat. By the way, this is a no-till wheat flour, not conventional till. There was a little bit more effect in the wheat fallow conventional till than effect of carbon dioxide. Anyway, the most significant effect based on statistical comparison for the distribution as a whole as well as the mean was the effects of temperature. But then they were compensated by effects of positive effect on carbon dioxide. So we had combination, and there was not much precip change effect, as you can see. So except for 2100, the differences between the baseline and up to 2075 were not statistically significant. And here it shows you the transpiration changes, the CDF of change in transpiration over these years. And as you can see, the transpiration did increase. The baseline is the red curve, did increase over time, even though in this case was not statistically significant. Now this shows the wheat yield in a wheat corn fallow rotation. There was a wheat fallow in the previous slide. Now there was a little bit more effect of carbon dioxide. Again, very similar effects of negative effects of temperature. As the CDF moves to the left, the yield decreases, as you can see. There are some effect of precip, but not significant. And overall effects in the wheat corn fallow of all the three factors combined were not statistically significant. The transpiration still increased over the years, and that was statistically significant. Now, wheat yield and wheat corn millet fallow are essentially very similar. So I don't want to spend time on this. Transpiration effects were significant, although there were some variations. Major conclusions didn't change. Here's the maize yield, the corn yield. Again, the effect of carbon dioxide was essentially negligible, as is reported in the literature for C4 crops. Effects of temperature was significant, and overall effect was also significant. And transpiration, instead of increasing over the years, actually decreased over the year. And that is because the yield significantly decreased. This is a maize yield and wheat corn millet rotation. Results are very similar to the one for wheat corn fallow. Millet yield, that was kind of interesting, and we're still thinking about it, what causes it. The effect, temperature was about similar as to corn, but precip change really affected the decrease of yields. Remember, the precip change was that overall annual, there is no change in overall annual precip, but the spring and summer precip decreases and fall and winter precip increases. Okay. Thank you. So that did have effect on the millet yield and the wheat corn millet rotation. And the effect overall of all the three factors combined was more in millet than in corn. And same effect on transpiration. Now, I also want to show you the comparison of different rotations currently and in the future year. In this case, I'm showing you the effect on wheat yield baseline for different rotations. As you can see, the wheat fallow, conventional till and no-till, and then wheat corn fallow and wheat corn milled fallow. So the yield is higher in wheat fallow rotation, followed by wheat corn fallow, and then wheat corn millet. Now this is the same thing wheat in 2050, and the order stays about the same. The rotation effects are significant, but the climate change doesn't change the order of which rotation is the best. Same thing for corn. Baseline difference between wheat corn fallow and wheat corn millet fallow, and this is in 2050, is relatively the same effect. So we tried what can we do, especially for summer crops, but we also tried change in planting date, early planting, whether it has any effect in any of those crops. And we didn't see very much effect of early planting on any of these crops. So we then look at what's causing this, and so we look at days with temperature above the upper optimum for each of the crops. And it tells you the mean number of days here, days above optimum, upper optimum for wheat. And for example, 2050, there were, currently there were 15, current climate, 2050, 33, and the numbers increases as we go to 2100. So we do have some effect of temperature becoming above optimum, causing the, affecting the growth in yield. Similarly for corn, we had currently from 1 to 20 in 2100. So that tells us that adaptation may have to go beyond planting date. It has to have some cultivar adaptations as well. So in conclusion, our results thus far showed that wheat yield changes appear to be small, whereas the summer crop yields could decrease. Temperature seems to be the primary factor that controls this result, followed implicitly by soil moisture. Effect of rotation is significant among rotation, but the order really doesn't change. So our thinking is that that's something for next thing to try is to adaptation probably will need to include new cultivars, appropriate rotations, maybe planting date in combination with new cultivar and water conservation. Thank you.
One question for Lodge?
Yes, sir.
Lodge, in your first slide showing the temperature and rainfall,
yeah.
Was that a weighted average or was that one location? What was that?
No, that was just not a weighted average, just a yearly variation.
Yeah, but was it one location?
Yeah, just one location, Akron, Colorado. That's correct.
So one weather station.
Right. But over the past century, you...